Okay, let's read together. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about half a liter of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So we'll finish reading just there, and we're going to focus our thoughts on these verses for this morning. So I want to start by asking you a question. What are you devoted to? What do you invest all of your time and money into? If you're not sure, maybe you could ask your close friends or your family, and they'll tell you. They'll see in you, what are you devoted to? And being devoted to something is often a very good thing. Think about a devoted mother, or a devoted teacher, a devoted worker, a devoted friend. It's admirable to be described in this way. But being devoted to something may not be all good. We may not always have our priorities straight. What are you devoted to? I have a friend that when I was growing up, he still is, devoted to cars. As soon as we could drive, as soon as he was 17, he somehow had way more impressive cars than I had. He had powerful, fast cars, and he loved working on cars. He'd buy cars that were broken, and he'd fix them, and he'd sell them, make a profit. He left school, and he became a mechanic. He opened his own garage. Once, when he was working on my little Toyota Corolla, he let me drive one of his Subarus. It was a bit too big for me. He was devoted to cars. What are you devoted to? What comes to your mind? For us, in our family right now, we've been devoted to a house. We've just moved house this week. It's just about ready for us to move in and live in, and we've been gearing up to it for weeks and weeks, and now we're finally there. We've put all our furniture there, and we've been devoted to this move. It's taken up all of our thoughts and attention. Maybe for you, it's your job. Maybe all of your time goes into your career, progressing as far as you can, as fast as you can. Maybe you work late, or you start early just to make a better impression. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you're devoted to your kids, or your grandkids, or your nephews or nieces. Whenever you can, you spend time with them, and that's an admirable thing. But are they the highest priority for you? Are you devoted to money? Getting as much of it as you can, or getting more just so you can spend it on whatever you want? Is that what fills your mind when you wake up, when you go to sleep? Well, if you're not sure what you're devoted to, think, how do you spend your time? How do you spend your money? Where do your thoughts go? Well, that will give us a good idea of what is important to us. Well, in our passage today, we see contrasting characters in terms of where their devotions lie. We see Mary, who expresses this extravagant devotion to Jesus. She's devoted to him and his mission. We see Judas. Well, he's devoted to something else, isn't he? Devoted to his own financial gain. And we see the chief priests who are devoted to power. So the first thing I want to encourage you and say to you this morning is be devoted to Jesus no matter the expense. So be devoted to Jesus no matter the expense. So let's look at Mary. I'm sure you've heard about Mary before, or if you haven't heard of this Mary, I'm sure you've heard of her brother, Lazarus. Jesus was a good friend of this family, and in the last chapter we saw that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. You may also remember a story from another gospel when Jesus is at this house and Martha and Mary are there, and Martha is busy around the house trying to look after everything, and where is Mary? She's at Jesus' feet. She's listening to Jesus. Well, here again, we find Mary at Jesus' feet. Only this time, it's not to listen to his teaching, but to express her devotion to him in an extravagant and beautiful way. Look at verse 3. Then Mary took about half a liter of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. They're at a dinner which was being given in Jesus' honor. Don't know, have you been to a dinner party recently where all the guests sit around a table, have lots of food and chat and fun? Or maybe you're thinking, what is Mary doing under the table? How did she get to Jesus' feet? Well, the way dinner parties used to happen is the table with the food would have been at the center, quite low to the ground, and everyone would have reclined around the table. Now, it's that position that you're in on the couch at the end of the day when you have your snacks in front of you and you're leaning on the side. They're reclining right up to the table and their feet are all pointing away. And this is where Mary walks in, comes up to Jesus with this expensive perfume, pours it on his feet, and wipes his feet with her hair. This raised many eyebrows. The extreme expense of the perfume is criticized, as we'll see, and the fact that Mary now lets down her hair, which wasn't common for women in those days in public. She throws caution to the wind and begins wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. This is truly an extravagant act of devotion. Now, I was Googling expensive perfumes. Don't know if you like wearing nice perfume or you get perfume for Christmas. Well, listen to this. From the brand Hermes, a 100ml bottle of this perfume would set you back about €4,500. It's not bad, is it? That'd be a good Christmas present. We'd better start saving now. Well, the perfume that Mary used on Jesus was very valuable, similarly valuable, but it wasn't just a little small bottle of perfume. She used a pint. And we see a little further down, we're told that it was worth about 300 denarii. A denarii was about the amount a worker got paid for one day's work. So it's about 300 days' work, or about a year's wages. So this perfume at today's rate could be at least €27,000. So this act of devotion, it was lavish. It was extravagant. No expense was spared from Mary in showing her love and devotion to Jesus. But how does Jesus respond to this luxurious act, this extravagant act of worship? Does he say, Mary, thank you, but let's use this in a different way? No. He accepts it. He then defends Mary from criticism. You see, because he is worthy of this extravagant worship. Jesus is worthy of extravagant and costly worship because of who he is. He is God in the flesh. He's the Messiah, the Son of God, that he's worthy to receive this kind of devotion, devotion that pours out everything that we have. It's not a waste. This perfume couldn't have gone to better use. Jesus was worthy of this extravagant expression of devotion. Mary was devoted to Jesus and his mission. Look at verse 7. Jesus, defending Mary, says, "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." This perfume had been intended for Jesus' burial. So Mary was in a way preparing Jesus' body for burial. As was their custom to anoint the body after death, this is pointing towards the pending death and burial of Jesus. And when we compare Mary to the disciples in their confusion or their disbelief or their refusal to accept Jesus' mission, his death, Mary quietly and humbly and gently anoints Jesus' body with this extravagant and beautiful perfume. And where Jesus needs to go on in the next chapter in the Gospel of John to teach his disciples about washing each other's feet, we see Mary here washing Jesus' feet. She gets it. She's on board and she is devoted to Jesus and his mission, no matter the cost. So let me ask you, are you devoted to Jesus and his mission? Is there a cost in your mind that I can only go so far? Or I can only give so much of my life? Is he the one who fills your mind when you wake or when you go to sleep? Are your intentions and desires through the day shaped by Jesus? Is Jesus and his mission the most important thing to you? Well, his mission now is that we are his people and that we would be a shining light together to invite and to draw others into his family. No matter what that would cost us. Being devoted to Jesus as the Son of God, the powerful, almighty Creator, and his mission of drawing people into his family. And there will be costs. Maybe that will cost you a relationship. Maybe your friends or your family won't accept that this is true. They won't accept you for believing these things. Maybe it'll cost you a career that you had always wanted. Maybe you'd always wanted a particular job or you wanted to get to the top. But because your priorities are going in a different direction, you want to be available to serve Jesus more. Maybe you opted for something else. Maybe it'll cost you financially. Giving to the work of the gospel or to those in need instead of spending on unnecessary luxuries. Maybe it will cost you your life. We don't face that kind of persecution here in Ireland right now, but there are many around the world that by choosing to be devoted to Jesus, they're putting their lives at risk. Not just a bottle of perfume, their very lives are at risk. And we do this because he is worthy. Jesus is worthy of this devotion, of this sacrifice, of this worship. So be devoted to Jesus, no matter the cost, because he's worthy. Second thing I want to encourage you with this morning is to watch out for what you are devoted to. Watch out for what you're devoted to. Let's look at some of the other characters that we come across in this passage. You see, Mary's extravagant act of devotion is met with criticism. And it's Judas here is the one who's highlighted as the one who objects. Look again at what he says in verse 5. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. Might be a reasonable objection given the high cost of the perfume and all the potential it could be to those in poverty. Even the group of disciples, as they traveled around with Jesus, they often didn't have enough for themselves. Is that not a commendable objection? Is Judas someone who is devoted to the poor and he sees all that could be achieved? Well, that doesn't seem to be the real problem here. Look at verse 6. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas was devoted to something else. He was devoted to his own greedy financial gain. He was the one who looked after the group's money, and he used to help himself to little bits of what was there. So maybe as Judas saw the perfume being poured out, he saw his cut disappearing before his eyes, being wiped away by Mary's hair. Judas was devoted to the wrong thing entirely. He was devoted to his own personal financial gain. His heart was not devoted to Jesus. It was devoted to the love and snare of money. He missed it. He missed what Mary had done. If Judas was thinking, what a waste. Or maybe you were thinking, what a waste. You've missed it. Why is it not a waste? Because Jesus is worthy of this kind of devotion. Judas was devoted to the wrong thing. Because there's only one thing, one person who is worthy of our complete and undivided devotion, and it's Jesus. Sadly, we see Judas, his weakness for money, surfacing later in the story when Judas agrees to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was devoted to the wrong thing. What about the chief priests? We've seen Judas and how he reacts. What about the chief priests? They're another group of characters we find here that can warn us to watch what we are devoted to. So what are the chief priests devoted to? Well, we are reaching fever pitch as we come to the end of this passage. Jesus, described as the light of the world, is shining brightly. Many are coming to faith. They're following Jesus. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead, and more are coming to faith and believing in him. But yet this storm is brewing. The winds are picking up, because now more names are being added to the chief priest hit list. Lazarus' name now gets added. Look at verse 10 and 11. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The chief priests were devoted to staying in power, no matter the cost, even murder. They're planning to murder Jesus and, well, as the saying goes, in for a penny, in for a pound, we might as well get rid of Lazarus at the same time. They're devoted to remaining in power, devoted to taking Jesus and anyone else who stands in their way out of the picture. They have got it all wrong. Their devotion is totally misplaced. Instead of pursuing power and authority for themselves, they should have been devoted to the one who has all power and authority, Jesus himself. So can we do a check of ourselves for what we are devoted to? We need to watch what we are devoted to in our lives. What is it that has your heart? If you honestly looked at yourself and said, this is what my heart loves, what is that thing for you? Is it Jesus, the almighty and powerful God who is worthy of this devotion? Or is it some other created thing? We all have passions and interests that take up so much of our time. And that's a really good thing. Just even thinking at the tennis that's just finished up in Wimbledon. The hours of dedication that these athletes put in to become such high-level players is commendable. Maybe you have invested weeks, months, years into something. It's not a waste. But what is at the root of it all? Is your passion an end in itself? Is that house the ultimate in your life? Or that job or that sports team that you're wanting to get on? Material gain, job progression, family happiness, stable health and fitness, popularity, being devoted to these things as an end in themselves is devotion that is totally misplaced. Our devotion needs to be firmly and squarely with Jesus, because he's the only one who can satisfy and the only one who is worthy of that kind of devotion. Devoted to him personally and to his mission, living and working and enjoying life as he wants us to. And as we are devoted to him, life then works its way out, and that might include a good job. It might include unemployment. It might include material gain or poverty. It might include family happiness or loss. It might include good health or sickness. But when we are devoted to Jesus at the core of who we are, he will help us through whatever life throws at us. We need to have hearts that don't hold back, that offer not just a year's wages, but all of our resources and time and efforts to him. We need to hand over all that we are and have, hearts that throw caution to the wind like Mary. We throw off those restraints that might be holding us back and worship him fully and freely, no matter what it costs us, because he is worthy of extravagant and costly devotion. And as we watch what we are devoted to, I think there's a little warning for us in here with Judas. I think Judas is a really sad character through the Gospels. He's someone who is so close to Jesus, but that doesn't guarantee a right heart. Judas was one of the 12, but his devotion was all wrong. Maybe for you, you are in church every week. You listen to sermons even during the week, or maybe you read your Bible regularly. Maybe you hang out even with people from church, outside of church. That doesn't guarantee our hearts to be right. We need to look at Jesus and be devoted to him. So as we finish up, maybe a question has been raised in your mind. I think it was raised in mine. What about the poor? As we go through this passage, there is a question, what about the poor? Because Jesus uses this phrase in verse 8, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So it seems that what Jesus is saying is this material extravagance for Mary was appropriate while Jesus was physically present with them. Jesus isn't here physically right now. He's here by his spirit. But we can't bring our perfumes today and pour them out on his feet. We can't bring those costly things physically to him. So it seems that this act was appropriate for when he was physically present with them. But now that Jesus is not here physically, we can't do that same thing. What does Jesus say? The poor are still with us. Jesus commends Mary for her extravagant act, while also reminding us that the poor will always be among us, and we have responsibility to help. As we see those around us in need, maybe we see very close to us within our families, or our neighbours, or within our community of the church. Maybe in around Cork City, we see the needs that are there. And as God's people, we have responsibility, as we see those needs, to look, can we help? Or what can we help? Where can we help? This was a unique time when Jesus was physically present with his disciples, and an act like this was possible. And we want to have extravagant hearts of worship that overflow in devotion and service to Jesus, no matter what that costs us, maybe personally or as a church together. And one of those ways that we can serve sacrificially is helping those who are poor and in need. We can see where there's need in various different ways, not just financial. And as a church here in Cork, and as a church for us in Skibbereen, we can see those needs and meet them with God's help. Personal cost, or cost to us as a church, is worthwhile in the service of Jesus, because he is worthy of devoted and costly worship. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage in John's Gospel that shows us a glimpse of how worthy you are for this kind of devotion. Thank you for your servant Mary, who wasn't afraid to express that love and devotion to you in this way. Lord, let it remind us of how worthy you are of devotion in our lives, that there wouldn't be anything or anyone that holds us back from pouring our lives out to you. Help us, Lord, to identify the things that our hearts long for that aren't you. Reveal those things to us so that we can turn our eyes away from those things and towards you. Help us to get that priority back in order. Lord, that we wouldn't put good things from you in your way, but we would look to you first, and you would help us to live out our lives for you. So, Father, in this coming week, we pray you'd help us to be devoted to you. Help us to be conscious that that may cost us, and help us to be ready when that cost may come to continue serving you and worshiping you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.